Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As it is tradition, we say he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen indeed. That actually makes a guy a little emotional. If you really stop and think about it, that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. You know, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather through him that we would be saved. And that, to me, is an extremely powerful, powerful thought to actually stop and consider. Pastor Scott on Friday had an awesome message, and actually I've been blessed all weekend because, see, generally I end up doing all the services. And not that I'm complaining, but for 11 years I've done the services here. Well, 10 years. This is my first year not doing all of them. But anyways, so I end up doing Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, and it just, you kind of feel like it's like overwhelming because you don't get to receive so much. But Thursday we went to South Range because of our work project, and we ended up having services there. And Pastor Chuck had a wonderful message there. And he left off with something that I've never really seen anybody do before, but he had his whole service, and we had all our songs, and you know, and you're all excited to get out of church, but no, Chuck gets back up there, and he has one more reading. And I was like, what's this? But it was the reading of, actually, the denial of Peter. And it really weighed on my heart how heavy Peter's heart must have been for those few days. That what a struggle that must have been, where Peter thought he was so zealous that he would never deny Christ. And Chuck basically left us there. You know, obviously Chuck gave us the hope of Christ. There's no doubt about that. I'm not saying he did a bad job. But it really made me think. And then I came here on Good Friday, and Pastor Scott did a wonderful job preaching about Good Friday. And he spoke very straightforward on how this is real. And see, sometimes we only take real as what we can see right now. We only take real as the tangible things. Which is so funny because one of the most real things in our life is money. That's like a tangible thing that we can lay our hands on. But actually, how real is it? It only has a value what we believe it has. And so I thought Scott did a great job of bringing out how real the scripture is, that Jesus was a real individual, that he was, in fact, crucified, that, you know, this is recorded in history. It's extremely real. And then we come here this morning and we're waiting for Pastor to get up here and to preach to us the Easter story. Well, I'm not your traditional pastor. I like to come through things from a little bit different angle. So we read the Easter story, which is very familiar to us. We read a very powerful part where Jesus reveals himself to Mary. And it's just an amazing thing because that's how intimate our God is with us. He knows us. He knows us. And in fact, in there, he knew her by name, which is a very powerful thing to understand. Your God knows you, and he knows your name. You have value in his eyes. Your value is so great that he came to this earth, and he gave his life for you. And the funniest part of it is, whether you know it or not. See, it doesn't depend on what we deem to be real. The realness is in God's word, God's authority, and God's love for us. That's what's real. And so, whatever we may be going through, whether we're struggling financially, whether we're struggling with our spiritual battles, whether, even as Scott said, we struggle in our marriages, whatever it may be, raising children, nothing is easy, is it? But God sees us, he loves us, and he places a value on each and every one of us that is so great, it actually cost him his life. That's huge. So we're going to read from the Gospel of John, and I want to share basically in trusting in the Word of God. So we're going to read from John, and we're going to read from chapter 11, verses 20 through 27. And I know it's tight quarters here, but if you're willing and able, please, I'm going to ask you to rise for the reading. I'm not doing a 45-verse text like my brother Scott did Friday. I'm only doing 7 verses, and I think we can stutter our way through this. Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 20, reading through 27, in Jesus' name. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, he will give it to you." Jesus said unto her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this word to us today, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, our words are idle tales, but your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've all heard this account. We hear really about the raising of Lazarus, and sometimes we have a tendency to focus only on that great miracle. But the fact of it is, Lazarus was raised, but he died another day. This is not a raising for eternal salvation. This is not an eternal raising. And so when we focus on that, really we have a tendency to say, look at that. Jesus raised this man from the dead. And it is amazing. Jesus did it on a few different occasions, actually. But the fact of it is, that is not also the greatest miracle found within this account. The miracle is the conversation that Jesus has here, even with Martha. Just very, very powerful. And the thing that I think is really striking me is, do we believe the Word of God? Do we just come out of here a habit? Or even as I was told this morning, I said to someone, "It was nice to see you," and they said, "Well, I was made to come." That's honesty. I don't care. That's awesome. You know, there's many things that I really don't want to do that oftentimes I'm made to do. But the fact of it is, if we would but open our minds, open our hearts, and open our willingness to hear, if we could say it this way, we could receive something great. I don't know about any of you guys, but, you know, I know there's many times that I've gone to church and I thought, I don't really want to go today, but I guess I got to go, or I'm a board member, or my wife reminds me now I'm the pastor, I have to go. But anyways, there's many situations. But can you also echo with me that when you've gone through that and you've shown up to church, God has blessed you, that you received something. When we most likely think we don't need it, that's exactly when we need what God is going to offer. And God is here to bless you today. He's here to bless you with the encouragement of His Word. I'm not here to do that. I can only speak what God lays upon our hearts or what's found in the Scripture. It's not about man telling you what can happen. It's about God's Word being opened and revealed to you, that you would have an encounter with His Spirit. That really is powerful. To know that His Word is true and what He speaks, though we think of it as so long ago, that it is true. The promises of His Word are immense. So we have this scene here where Lazarus, right? He was basically sick. And we know the whole story that Jesus was about 2 miles away. And he kind of tells the guys, "Hey, you know, Lazarus is sleeping." And so they're like, "Oh, okay." And he says, "We're going to go there and wake him up." Well, if he's sleeping, they said, "Leave him alone. It's good for him. When people are sick, we know sleeping is good." And then finally Jesus, he has to get pretty blunt with us human beings. He said, "He's dead. He died. And we're going to go there." Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking when they start heading there? Well, what's he going to do? If he's dead, what can anybody do? See, we often in our humanness think that death of this earth is a finality. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of eternity. But see, we have so many other things in our life that take precedence in our mind that tell us, well, can this be real? Yes, it is real. And yes, He has authority over hell, death, and the devil. That's in reality what we see in Christ Jesus. So now, he's heading there. And now Martha, she hears that Jesus is coming. People must have been just telling her. And so she is excited to see Jesus. But she kind of has an earthly thought going on in her mind, which is understandable. We'd have the same thing. She went out to him to meet him. And it says that Mary remained in the house. But now the conversation is between Martha and Jesus. And what's the first thing that Martha says to Jesus? Lord, if you had just been here, this would have never happened. How many times do we have that tendency in our human lives to turn around and say, if God would just show up, this wouldn't take place. Or if God would just show up, this wouldn't take place. And we get frustrated because we feel like, you know, maybe he's sleeping or maybe he's, you know, not even paying attention. That is not our God. Each and every circumstance that we face in our life is an opportunity to show the power of the kingdom of God. And this death of Lazarus was no different. Just like a couple chapters back, the blind man was no different. They were to show the glory and the power of God. Do our ears hear this? Do we actually acknowledge that the one who has created me out of nothing has the ability to do such great wonders? That is such a powerful thing. If we stop for even a moment and we opened our catechism that most of us were tutored under, right? We taught under the catechism. That's exactly what Luther says. He says, you know, how can these things take place? How can he actually be found in the elements? How in reality can he bring salvation through baptism? How can he do these things? He says, the one who has created everything out of nothing can do such great, wondrous works. What did you do to bring yourself here today? Oh, but I cleaned up. I look good. I have a tie on. I feel really good about that. What did you do last night when you laid your head down on your pillow to keep your heart beating when you were sleeping? What did you do to make sure that you didn't choke? Whatever else it may be, what did you do? We're helpless in ourselves. God keeps our heart beating. He keeps the blood flowing. God is the one to do all of these things in our life because he loves us. And that's the first thing we need to understand about the Easter season is that God loves us, each and every one of us. This world tells us, you've got to accomplish this and maybe you'll be loved. You've got to accomplish this and maybe you'll be idolized. You've got to accomplish this monetary income and then you'll have respect. That is the foolishness of this world. God loves you right where you are. Right in the shoes that you're at. It may not be where you're supposed to be, but it doesn't change the love he has for you. But she turns around and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have had to die. But she gives this confirmation of faith that I think is so powerful. She says, but even now, she says, I know whatever you ask from God, he will give you. She's leaning on Christ. To me, that is exactly where we need to be. Yes, we have those moments of saying, well, if you had just shown up. But then to complete that thought and say, but Lord, I know you're here. I know you're here and you are with me. Help me. Help me. So Jesus, he listens to this. And he tells her, he gives her a confirmation that she's willing to receive because they believed in the resurrection. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha, this is not the end. And she comes to the terms in her mind that she's understanding as the finality. That yes, on the last day, I know my brother will rise again in the resurrection. I know that. I believe that. But Jesus, he's trying to get her to come to a certain point. What is the resurrection? And for you, I want to ask you, what is the resurrection? We can go to a dictionary term of saying bringing life to one that was dead. We can go to the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, and say Jesus Christ on the third day is considered to be resurrected to bring life. Do you know, we turn around and we get up here and we have all kinds of cute statements as pastors we make, and we say, well, go home and enjoy your Easter candy because every day is Easter in Jesus. I'm being a little cynical there because that is true. Every day is Easter in Jesus. But what I would like to hear, and I would like you to hear, every day is resurrection in Christ. Every day. What do you hold against yourself? You don't need to look at everybody else. Maybe we're bitter towards other people because we have our own problem. But what do we hold against ourselves? Where do we think we missed the mark? Remember how I told you the world has all these little icons that we work our way up to and then we'll be accepted or we'll have reverence or whatever else? Where did we fail? What are we holding against ourselves? I hold a million things against myself. I do, in my own flesh. I know I do. A failure as a father. How many times I get angry at my children for stupidity. I know none of you have ever had that problem. Right, moms? Failure as a pastor. Sometimes I say things that I think are funny and aren't funny, and maybe I shouldn't have said that. Nobody else does that. See, that's what the adversary tells us. Nobody else does. You know, failure in reality as a husband. Failure in so many ways. And I'm not trying to be depressing here. But we have a tendency to listen to the adversary to tell us where we are such a failure. But Jesus Christ came to tell us he is the resurrection. And we, in reality, have resurrection every day in him. It is new. New life. New life. If we don't like the direction of our life, we as Christians can change it. Because we look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. And so Jesus turns around and he encounters her and he says, your brother will rise again. She goes, I know he will rise again. And that last day, and he says, you're missing it. I'm talking about now. And I'm telling you, as a minister of the gospel, that in Christ Jesus, your life is new every day in him. Every day. Don't let that adversary hold those things over you, because then you become a taskmaster to those things. You are free in him. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. But he adds something else here. And life. I am the rebuilding of your life. I am the changing of your life. I encompass you for your life. Another part of the Gospel of John, and it's one I quote all the time, but I don't care. I love it. He says, without me, you can do nothing. You want meaning to your life? It's in Christ. You want balance in your life? It's in Christ. It's not on a ball where you try to figure it out. It's in Christ. He says, I am the resurrection and life. And then he gives the statement, whosoever believes in me, though he may die, and he's talking about this earthly death, he says, it won't have an effect on him. What's one of the greatest fears that human beings have? Death. Death. I mean, we're always seeking for the fountain of youth. Every infomercial is telling us how to live longer. We're always seeking for the best health care. We're seeking to have our names remembered by putting them on buildings. You drive around these campuses and there's everybody's name on a building. Now we're starting to get into that at Lucky, right? Because we want to be remembered. Trust me, after a generation or two, nobody's going to remember. But you know who doesn't forget? God. He knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows, in reality, you are his child. He says, whoever believes in me, though he would die this earthly death, I'm going to add that part. He says, yet he shall live. He says, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Shall never die. We've had a lot of people die. It's amazing. I went through even our directory here at this congregation, and you can't believe over since I've been here. I've been here 11 Easters, but it's only 10 years. June will be 10 years. And we've lost like 78 people. But do we see the blessings? If you could turn around and look in this room and see what I see 100 and something people here. When I started here, there was 100 and something people here. And we've lost just through death, I think death and moving and everything, I think it was like 130 people we've lost. God blesses us. We know that there is an earthly death. He's talking bigger than that. He's saying, though you may die, this earthly death, he says, you will live. Because you will live eternity with me. He says, everyone who believes this shall never die. That is our hope. That is a promise from God, to trust in Him. It may not even make sense to us, right? Because we're carnal people, and we like to make sense of things, we like to figure things out, but the reality of it is God has given us a promise, and He is the one, in reality, that gave you this life. Maybe I was a little rude saying, what did you do last night to keep your heart beating? So I'm going to turn around and ask a different question. What did you do? Not your mom and dad. What did you do to be born? God gave you life. And He gives it to us abundantly. That's His promise. So if He could speak you in reality into this world, He can speak you into eternity. His word is powerful. She turns around, she makes a statement, yes, because He asks, He says, do you believe this? And that's the question that we have on our heart on this resurrection morning. Do we believe that we have life in Christ Jesus? And I think your presence here means you do. So you of all people are most blessed. Because you have a hope that is greater than Wall Street. You have a hope that is greater than any investment that you can make in this earth. Because when we die of this earthly life, all of that gets left. They always ask the question, how much money did Howard Hughes leave? You know how much he left?
All of it.
All of it. Every bit of it. And his family fought over it. But we have something greater. So we turn around and say, do we believe the word of God? How do we believe? What is there any record of? I want to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved. In other words, that good news of Jesus Christ. You have received it, you're standing firm in it, and you are saved by that word. He says, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you. He says, unless you believed in vain. In other words, unless it didn't affect you. He says, for I was delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. That Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures. In other words, this is all backed up by Scripture. You can find this and prove it. Christ died in reality for each and every one of us. That He was buried. Okay, so He went to that tomb. We know that on Good Friday. And that He was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. Scripture spoke about it from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. He says, and He appeared to Caiaphas. And the 12, in other words, to Peter. So He appeared to the disciples, the apostles. Okay? But then He also says very plainly in verse 6, not only that, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at a time. So then He also met with a larger group. He says, most of whom are still alive to this day, though some have fallen asleep. He says, then He appeared to James and to all the apostles. And then Paul says, actually, last of all, as to one of an untimely birth, He appeared to me. He appeared to me. He says, for I am the least of the apostles. Why? Unworthy to be called apostle because I persecuted the church of God. We know that. We know that Paul was very zealous against the Christians. We understand that he was persecuting the church. And we understand he was actually agreeing to the stoning of Stephen and was there. We understand that. But God did a great work. And that's what He's going to say. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, that's why people get upset when I come up here and I say, well, I'm a piece of work, or I'm this or that. We're foolish if we think we're anything different. Don't get me wrong, I don't think you guys are perfect either, but it's easier to pick on myself. You can't get mad at me for picking on me. But Paul acknowledges, he says, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. In other words, he poured his grace out before me. He says, on the contrary, he says, I actually, once I knew Christ, he says, I worked harder than any of them. He says, though, he says, in reality, it was not I, but the grace of God that was found within me. This is how we operate. We operate by his grace, by his mercy, by his strength. He equips us as saints to do this great work. Do we believe the word? Do we believe the account of Paul, where he was seen by 500, that he was met, that Paul met him himself, that the 12 apostles saw him and met him after the resurrection? Why is it important? Because if you read on in that Corinthians text, he'll say, and if he was not raised, then everything we do is in vain, and our faith is hopeless. But he encouraged us, saying, but it is true. He was raised. And that's exactly what was shared with us even on Good Friday here. Brother Scott preached, and he talked about how John testified, I am telling you these things. I have seen these things. And I am telling you for one purpose, that you would believe. I know that you have evidence in your life of God's working. I know that you have evidence in your life of God's grace upon you. Those are the gifts of God towards us. 1 Peter shares this with us, and I'll close with this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, blessed be the God of our Father, of Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God has given you this gift. Christ came to take your place upon that cross. Christ came to conquer hell, death, and the devil. Christ is victorious, and his tomb is empty. And what that proclaims to me is that my debt is paid in him, that my tomb is empty, and that I am a child of God that is so blessed and highly favored. I should shout it from the rooftops. It might be a little charismatic to do that, but praise God! He says, he has given us this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, to an inheritance. An inheritance that's imperishable. In other words, just because it's been a while, it didn't go bad. Undefiled, unfading, in heaven for you. Kept in heaven for you. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation, ready to be revealed at that last time. Really, this is what more or less Peter is saying. Paul's right. We don't really understand everything. We're kind of looking in this glass darkly. And what he's talking about there is mirrors in the old days. They weren't like what we have in here. They were kind of blurry and you could barely see, but you could get an image. It's kind of like me when I'm trying to watch TV with no glasses on. I kind of get the idea of what's going on, but, you know. But the fact of it is, we don't even understand the great things that are coming. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are precious. God loves you. He gave his only begotten Son for you, so that in his resurrection, you are resurrected. Each and every day is a day of grace in Christ. We used to preach it from the pulpits all the time, right? Today is a day of grace. It still is. Every day in Christ is a day of grace. Every day in Christ is a new beginning, a resurrection. May we have that hope. May we have that understanding. And may we come to this communion rail in boldness, understanding that we may not know how this all takes place, but God has input himself into our lives, and he has received us by grace through faith. We are of all people most blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray with and for them and partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. And as Brother Scott said, we do practice open communion.